our speed.
That's what I want.
You did everything that you could.
Yes, sir.
You do everything the coach told you to
there
do.
There wasn't one more thing that you could have done.
Yes, sir.
All of you around that ball. All of you.
Can you live in that moment?
Yes, sir.
If you can do that, gentlemen, then you're perfect.
Now, Chicagoland's premier prep football recap show. This is Preps Plus Chicago, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine on 720 WGN. Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
In Chicago, 720 WGN in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Preps Plus Chicago, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Sam Panionovich, Kevin Powell, quarterfinal weekend has come and gone.
Here we are, man. It completely flew by, and I know we joked about it all season. Like, every time we started a show, like, I can't believe we're in week three, I can't believe we're in week six, but here we are, semifinals next weekend.
It is crazy. And then, of course, championship weekend will be in DeKalb.
That's right.
That is November 24th and 25th at Husky Stadium. Lots of good teams still alive. Lots of upsets, including Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel beats East St. Louis today at Gately 21-18. The Caravan have beaten Moline. They were the 15. Normal, the 2. East St. Louis, the 7.
I see you holding back your smile there, Sam.
Just a little bit. I didn't even play football.
It's a great run, man. It's an awesome run you guys are on.
I think we should bring in head coach Frank Lenti.
That would make sense.
Shouldn't we do that? The winningest
legend.
Coach in the history of Illinois. He's been the head coach for 11 state titles. Coach, welcome back to WGN.
Thank you, guys. How are we doing tonight?
We're doing well. Where are you right now?
I am in my office at Mount Carmel. We are already trying to figure out ways to work on Lake Zurich.
So no time to celebrate, what, 30 seconds, 45 seconds? How long do you let that settle in before you move on?
Well, we'll enjoy it for the next couple of days, but, you know, we had some dinner here after we got the kids out and got them home, and now the coaches are all working away trying to find a way to give us a chance and give the kids a chance to be successful next week. We already know that Lake Zurich is a very good football team, so we have to go up there, and it's always great to have the challenge. As you guys mentioned, we've beaten three teams that no one thought we were going to beat. So the important thing is that our kids just keep working hard and having fun, and this team has great, great, great chemistry. They love being around one another, and, you know, over the last couple of years, they've had a few guys leave the team, and it's probably good that they did, you know, because they weren't a good fit chemistry-wise. Maybe athletically, yes, but not chemistry-wise. So it's really helped us tremendously, and these kids have totally bought into the all-in thing.
Well, football coaches don't like talking about themselves, but Coach, I got to ask, 11-time state champion, 33 years now, 34 years, and I grew up playing high school football, and it seemed every time, like this time of the year, I'd put it on and I'd see Mount Carmel in Champaign once again playing for a state championship over and over and over. Deep into the playoffs, we see Mount Carmel. How have you been able to sustain this sort of success for this long?
Well, it's great kids and a great coaching staff. It really is. You mentioned the 11 we won. I often think of the 5 state title games we lost. That's just the coach in me, I guess. But Bill Nolan told the team tonight something I hadn't really ever counted up. This is my 34th year as the head coach, and next weekend will be our 23rd semifinal appearance in the last 34 years. So we're lucky we've got a lot of good kids who can overcome the coaching. And over the years, we've had great support from the faculty and the administration at Mount Carmel, as well as I said, just having a tremendous, tremendous coaching staff.
You talk about all the tremendous kids you've had. You coached your son, Frankie. You won state championships when he was a receiver in the early 2000s. Now you've got nephews rolling through. Are you going to hang around for maybe a grandkid to play for you?
I don't know about grandkids, but I certainly hope to hang around through all the rest of the nephews. That would be a fun thing to do.
What keeps driving you, Coach?
Really, it's the kids and the coaches, the camaraderie. I mean, as I said, our coaching staff, you know, we're all very close friends. That's kind of the way we've built it over the years. A number of the guys played for us over the years, and then they come back as teachers and coaches. But nobody has that kind of success without having some really good kids. you know. So you have to have players, and that doesn't mean we always have great players. You know, everybody thinks you line up with 22 Donovan McNabbs or Simeon Rice. We really haven't had those guys since those guys left. But, again, I think so much of it is attributed to the chemistry we're able to build with the youngsters, their academics. You know, people like to think of Carmel as a jock school. We have five senior football players that have a 30 or better ACT. Our starting center has a 35 ACT. So we have a lot of good, smart football players as well. And, guys, that's important that you don't beat yourselves. You know, and sometimes this year we've done that, and we struggled early on while Alec Thomas was playing baseball. And then when he came back, it kind of gave us a little bit of a boost. And, you know, we had him play quarterback. Now we've got him playing wide receiver, running back, and defensive back as well. And Rad Primovic has taken over the quarterback spot. So, you know, we're smart enough to keep trying to figure out ways to make him better. And the kids, they just love being around one another, guys.
You got to be smart, got to be intelligent, too, to run that triple option that you guys do at Mount Carmel. That's Frank right. Lenti, head coach of the Caravan, who are headed back to the semifinals. They'll take on Lake Zurich next weekend. So today at Gately, 21-18, the final over East St. Louis, a perennially tough program. What were you most impressed with today, Coach?
I think, actually, I was most impressed with the fact that we jumped out to a 14-0 start. It was only the second time all year they had been behind in a game. And I think the fact that we were able to do that really kind of took them out of their game, you know, because they were a high-powered, run-first offense, and they threw the ball a lot more than I think they had planned on, you know, because they were always playing from behind. Even when they made it 14-12, you know, we stopped every one of their two-point conversions. They scored three times, and we stopped two-point conversions. So I think that just kept the pressure on them, and I really think they struggled with how to react at the end of the game. You know, just like last week when we played Normal, you know, they had beaten people by ridiculous scores, and toward the end of the game, I don't know that they knew how to react to the adversity of being down late in the game.
Well, yeah, you beat Normal by a point. You top East St. Louis by three. Those are some really tight games, Coach. Can that help you moving forward? And, you know, when you see teams pulling out these tight ones, that's normally a sign that you got some tough kids.
Well, you know what? It's not only tough kids, but it's high-character kids. You know, one of the mottos we talk about here at Mount Carmel is building character for a lifetime. And I think that all these kids just exemplify that. I just can't say enough about our seniors, our captains, and our senior leadership. You know, they see how it's supposed to be, and as Coach Nolan said, they're smart enough to follow the lead of the coaches, and that's exactly what they've been able to do, and we don't know how far this thing will go, but, you know, the kids are working hard, and we're all having a lot of fun doing it, and, you know, we just tell the kids all the time, you have to be smart enough, tough enough, and disciplined enough to do what we tell you, when we tell you, how we tell you, and usually it'll work out for the better. Not always, but usually.
Frank Lenti with us on 720 WGN. It's Preps Plus, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. He's the head football coach at Mount Carmel on the south side, down on 64th and Dante. GQ did a piece on Nick Saban. This was a couple of years ago, and they talked about his routines. As you know, football coaches, football players have routines. They talked about what Saban does every day. There are two things he does every single day. For breakfast, he eats two Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies. For lunch, he has a salad of iceberg lettuce, turkey, tomatoes every single day, Coach. That's part of his regimen every single day. Do you have any superstitions, traditions, regimens that you implement every day?
No, I really don't. I don't have anything like that.
No Little Debbie every day?
No. I also don't have Nick Saban's money either. So,
but Coach, is there another coach, whether it's in the high school football or college football or NFL, maybe someone you've come across during your time in your career that you've, you know, admired the way they coach, whether it's at a pro level or youth level, or somebody that's maybe motivated you a little bit or taught you some lessons as a coach?
Well, you know what, a few of the guys that I really tried to learn from and emulate a little bit were guys like Ara Parseghian at Notre Dame. Bo Schembechler and Lou Holtz probably had a tremendous impact on me personally. And I'm always studying. I mean, if you walked into my office or came into my den in my home, I mean, I have literally thousands of books, trying to find ways to make ourselves better, make our staff better, make myself better as a head coach. That's kind of a passion. You know, we talk to the kids about you have to have a passion and a desire to go from good to great, and only you can do that for yourself. You know, we can't do all of it for you. You know, we can lead you, we can guide you. You have to trust the coaches. But again, most importantly, I personally don't have any little quirks like that. I mean, you know, I don't wear the same pair of socks on every game day.
That's good.
I don't pay attention to if I'm putting the left shoe on first or the right shoe on first. I don't have any of those kind of quirks, probably because if I did, it would drive me crazy.
If I were to walk into your office for the first time, I've been in your office, but if somebody were to walk in your office for the first time, what is the first thing you show them? What's the coolest thing in your office?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that I have a coolest thing. Usually, one of the first things I show people when they ask is a book written by and about John Wooden. Again, he was somebody I got to meet through my sister, Jeannie, a couple of years before he passed away. I got to actually go to Encino, California, and spend a morning with Coach Wooden. And then I have two pictures on the wall in my office that I show people all the time. One is Coach Holtz, myself, and Bill Walsh, and all three were the 1988 national champ, state champ, and Super Bowl champ.
Wow.
We were all at a clinic together. And then there's a picture next to that, two of my former players, and above their head it says United States Secret Service, and they gave me the picture with the badge in it, my 20th anniversary as a head football coach here. And the guy on the right, his name is Mike Clifford. Mike Clifford was captain here with Donovan McNabb. Then he was captain at Princeton. And then he went on and he was a bodyguard for the last detail for President Bush. Wow. So I'd rather brag about that than Donovan McNabb's accomplishments or anything like that, because, you know, what Donovan did or does, or, you know, that's pretty much God-given skill. You know, when you're a guy who's going to put your life on the line every day to be a bodyguard for the President of the United States, and you're a Carmel grad, I think that's pretty cool stuff.
Coach, what are you most proud of in your 34-year career?
Oh, gosh. You know what? Probably all the kids that have gone on and just been successful fathers and successful businessmen and, you know, things like that for for a football accomplishment. You know, obviously it was great to have my son, you know, and some of his pals be captains of the 02 state championship team. But we've had a lot of good teams. Our 88 team was awesome. You know, 96 team, 98. You could just kind of go on and on. But when you coach everybody else's youngsters and then you finally get a chance to coach your own. And by the way, I didn't actually coach Frankie. He was a receiver. I coached the offensive line. But when you get to have him go from being the water boy to the ball boy to actually playing in those games and having success, you know, I think that's pretty cool. And, you know, a thing I'm really proud of my own son is when he worked at the University of Illinois, he won an Emmy Award from Hollywood back in 2011. So another kudos to a former Mount Carmel football player. You know, these kids go on and do some pretty neat things, because I don't know too many people who actually own an Emmy Award.
That's the winningest head coach in Illinois high school football history, Frank Lenti, 11-time state champ as a head coach at Mount Carmel. The Caravan moving on. They will play Lake Zurich in the semis for a chance to go to the state title game. Coach, heck of a ride, heck of a journey, but I feel like there's still a couple more chapters you'd like to write down. So enjoy tonight, enjoy your staff and your friends, and we'll talk to you next time, and good luck down the road.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Coach.
Talk to you soon.
That's all Frank Lenti, head coach at Mount Carmel. Been there a long, long time. 11 rings. You can't even wear all those rings at once.
I was telling, like, when I my first question him, growing up, I was so into high school football. I played, and every time, this time of year, Thanksgiving weekend, I'd put on TV, and there was Mount Carmel down in Champaign. Always, always, always. So it was a pleasure to talk to him. He's an absolute legend.
If you missed anything from that, Joe Romano will put that up later tonight or early tomorrow. The podcast will be on WGNRadio.com. Let's do this. Let's get our scores from quarterfinal weekend with Kevin Powell.
tabulating game scores.
Now, the Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
Okay, we'll start with 8A. Lincoln Way East blanks Oswego 31-0. They advance and will take on Maine South, who beat Naperville Central 39-28. That sets up a rematch between Lincoln Way East and Maine South. Maine South won last year, went on to win the Class 8A championship, so they'll play next week in the semifinals. In the other part of the bracket, Edwardsville edged out Manuka 28-25. They'll play Loyola, who topped Marist 30-10. In 7A, Bennett topped Lincoln Way Central 14-10. Batavia over Lincoln Way West. So it'll be Bennett and Batavia in the semis. Mount Carmel, as you just heard, will take on Lake Zurich on the other part, other side of the bracket. Prairie Ridge cruise to a 42-7 victory over Willowbrook. They'll face Hoffman Estates next week. Hoffman topped Belvedere North 35-10. And St. Lawrence fell to Providence, who advances to the semis. They'll face Nazareth next weekend. And moving on to 5A, Phillips beat Lamont 15-3. Sterling over Woodstock Marion 22-10. So it'll be Phillips and Sterling in the semis. Washington will play Dunlap on the other half of the bracket. That's a look at your Preps Plus scoreboard. If you missed anything, go to WGNRadio.com, or you can always go to IHSA.org. They have a couple great links there. It'll get you all the scores you need.
Scoreboard sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. From the oven to your plate, Chicago's Best is bringing you the most delicious bites on an all-new Chicago's Best Baked this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Up next, the lead writer for the Chicago Tribune prep section, Mike Clark. He will join us, 720 WGN.
All of you around there, pop, 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 pop.
Now, back to Preps Plus Chicago, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine on 720 WGN.
It's 10:28, 720 WGN. A great interview, a great visit with Frank Lenthy, the head coach of Mount Carmel. Only 11 state championships.
Only 11.
If you missed that, check out the website tonight or early tomorrow morning, WGNRadio.com. We'll have that podcast up with.
Are you surprised? Sorry, I know we have Mike Clark on hold, but are you surprised that Mount Carmel did this, or is this sort of just like a you guys are used to it now? Like, we don't know, maybe. And next thing you know, they're in the state championship.
I am not surprised.
Sam went to Mount Carmel.
I will ask Mike Clark that question, or you can ask Mike Clark that question.
All right,
question.
Mike Clark, are you surprised? Does Mount Carmel and what Frank Lenthy does ever cease to amaze you?
No, it doesn't. And I started covering him in 1988 when I first came to the Times of Northwest Indiana. I've been covering him ever since, basically. And the thing about it was I hadn't covered him before 88. So they won in 88, they won in 89, they won in 90, they won in 91. And, you know, as far as I knew, that they were just never not going to win state. So, you know, it took until 92 before I covered a Mount Carmel team that didn't win state. And that's, you know, it's remarkable, because there's a couple of things here, guys. Number one, I don't know that anybody's going to coach as long as he has. You know, it seems like with the way sports have turn into 12-month-a-year things. You know, every sport is 12 months a year now, because, you know, there's conditioning, there's 7-on-7s in the summertime, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. And a lot of coaches just don't want to deal with that long-term the way Coach Luddy has. So that's number one. I don't know that anybody's going to coach 33, 34 years, whatever it is, and he's not going to stop anytime soon. So it could be 40 years, who knows. But to maintain that level of success is just really you know, something obviously unprecedented, because nobody's won that many titles in Illinois in football. And there's been some great coaches. There's some great coaches out there now, obviously. So it's just remarkable, number one, for him to want to do it. And I've talked to him, you know, a lot about it. You know, it's funny, because people thought that he was going to retire after Frankie left in 2002. So that's 15 years ago. And, you know, he's still doing it. You know, this was a great win today. I mean, I don't know that you can, you know, really overstate how big a win this was. I mean, East St. Louis hadn't lost a game to a team from Illinois in 2 years. And this was a tremendous win for Mount Carmel. You know, it's great to see how far they've come from the beginning of the year, because, you know, at the beginning of the year, they didn't have their quarterback, as you alluded to. You know, Alec Thomas was playing baseball for the U.S. under-18 team in the World Championships. You know, and they've really come together, and to knock off a team like East St. Louis to get to the semi, that's really a remarkable achievement.
That's Mike Clark, Chicago Tribune lead preps writer. You can read him in the Chicago Tribune papers. Yeah, those coaches, you know, the Frank Lentys, the Matt Sefners, John Holasek, David Serres, these guys are few and far between, I think, mostly because nowadays it's kosher to leave for greener pastures. And these guys continue to churn out wins, make deep runs, and they're not really going anywhere. And you can really appreciate that. Speaking of one of those coaches, John Holasek, they continue to make good teams look average, right, Mike? I mean, Loyola, they shut down Marist today, 30-10, the win for the Ramblers. No surprise either that they're going far.
No, not at all. And kind of the story of the game, certainly Loyola's defense was great today. I mean, Marist hadn't scored fewer than 23 all year, and that was way back in week one against Brother Rice. So to hold Marist to 10 points was remarkable. But the other thing is that, you know, we've kind of talked about Loyola's injuries off and on all season. Hamid Bully, who was the running back who was hurt early, was coming off the ACL tear last year. He really came into his own starting about the St. Rita game, I would say, this year. And he didn't play, or he didn't have a carry tonight. I think he was on the field for a couple of plays, but he did not have a carry tonight. So what does Loyola do? Well, they turn to a sophomore named Trevor Cabanban, who had –
a great name.
Touchdown runs. Yeah. There's a lot of possibilities there for sure.
That's amazing.
I mean, you know, he's a kid that they brought up along with all the other sophomores, like every team does, you know, for the playoffs. And it's like, you know, okay, let's get the sophomores, you know, acclimated to varsity ball, you know, practice with the big guys. And it turns out that he's, you know, played a much bigger role than I think anybody expected. I mean, I talked to John Holasek after the game, and he told me that because his son is on the sophomore team, he's seen a lot of the sophomore games, and he saw that Trevor had something special. He didn't know that he was going to be a guy who was going to come in, you know, and put up 100 yards in a varsity playoff game or something like that, but that's what Loyola does. I mean, their receiver, Rory Boos, who caught a couple of touchdown passes tonight. Nobody knew who he was at the beginning of the season either. You know, Loyola has these guys who are just waiting for their turn. And when they get their turn, they produce. So just another example of that.
On the other side of the 8A bracket, it's going to be a – we're looking forward to it. Lincoln Way East against Maine South. That's a rematch from last year. Maine South won last year, went on to win the whole thing. Who are you picking in that one?
Oh, man. You guys are killing me here. I guess, do we go with the it's hard to beat a good team twice idea so that Maine South wins the rematch, obviously.
On the road? In Frankfort?
Lincoln Way East. Well, I mean, Lincoln Way East won on the road in Park Ridge
right. Earlier
this year, 28-26. I mean, I don't know, guys. I think it's going to be a tremendous game. I mean, this 8A bracket, there have been games, you know, I covered Maine South and Naperville Central today. That was a championship-caliber game. Next week is going to be a championship-caliber game for Maine South and Lincoln Way East. I mean, that's a game we would expect to see on Thanksgiving weekend, but it's just ridiculous how tough the 8A bracket is, and especially the top of the 8A bracket. You know, the gauntlet that some of these teams have had to run just to get this far is pretty crazy. And, you know, you talk about Loyola having, you know, finding a way to get things done. And Maine South is another team. You know, they were down 15 today. Looked like they were kind of in trouble. Gave up a quick touchdown at the beginning of the third quarter. Came back and scored 26 straight points to end the game. Knock out Naperville Central. So Fotis Kokosoulis, the Northern Illinois recruit, you know, he's two games away from playing in DeKalb on Thanksgiving weekend. Kind of a preview of what they might see, you know, in the next 4 years from him. But, you know, just a great performance by him again, four touchdowns, two receiving, two rushing. That's going to be a great game. You know, we keep saying that. I mean, I know it probably sounds like a broken record, but there are so many good games in 8A this year, it's ridiculous.
He's on Twitter at Mike Clark Preps. Great stuff per usual. Read your stuff in the paper, and we'll talk to you next weekend. Semifinals are here. Thanks, Mike.
Sounds good, guys.
Mike Clark from the Chicago Tribune.
We're going to use our speed. Do you hear me?
It's Preps Plus Chicago. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine on 720 WGN.
Coming up on 1040, greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois, 720 WGN Radio in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are sponsored per usual by Northwestern Medicine. And we go back out to the phones right now and bring in Edgy Tim, one of the leading writers in the history of Illinois high school football, edgytim.com. He's on Twitter, at Edgy Tim. Hello, Edgy. What's going on?
Sam, I've been sitting here like 6 years waiting for you to call, so it's definitely a pleasure to be back on with you, my friend.
That's not true. We had you on like 3 years ago.
All right. Good enough.
So let's start with what you covered this weekend. Where were you in the quarters? What did you like? What did you see?
Well, I did the Gately doubleheader. Got a chance to see Phillips play really well against a good Lamont team and pull out the win to advance. And, let's face it, Phillips has been just extremely consistent all year and really came out and did that again. And then saw your Mount Carmel Caravan pull off a very nice win over East St. Louis tonight. And I guess that Frank Linty guy can still coach a little bit, huh?
I was trying to tell Kevin.
Yeah, we talked to him. It's sort of turned into the Mount Carmel hour, but I'm okay with that because it's like every year they seem to impress us over and over again. And what he's done is just, do you have a Frank Linty story for us or just something that you could share with your time covering that absolute high school football legend?
You know, what I tell people all the time is he's probably one of the most down-to-earth, straightforward guys you'll ever meet. I mean, you know, he does not sugarcoat anything. He will tell you exactly what he thinks, and that's what I love about him because, you know, when he tells you something, it's coming straight from the heart, and he doesn't play around with anything. So, and you know what? I mean, people talk about, go five wide until the ball over the field. You know what? He's still winning with the same offense he's run forever, and it really was extremely effective tonight, no question.
His critics have called it a dinosaur offense, too, the option veer, the triple option. But, hey, when you win 11 state titles, you can do whatever you want with your offense.
Well, and it does, and you talk about the coaching job he's done this year. I mean, he was tinkering with that offense all the way up until about, week 7, week 8, and, you know, he found the right combination, and, again, that's great coaching.
I am jacked for this 8A semi pairing, I guess you could call it, Lincoln Way East, Main South, and then on the bottom half, you've got Edwardsville, usually really good. They'll take on Loyola. That game is in Edwardsville. It's a long road trip for John Holosek and the Ramblers, but I'm pretty content with the Final Four in 8A. Lincoln Way East, Main South, Loyola, and Edwardsville. It doesn't get much better than that.
No, not really, and it's a rematch of Lincoln Way East and Main South, and you go back to that early game in the regular season. And Rob Zavonar told me flat out, they defensively schemed to take away Fotis Kokosoulias in that game, so it's going to be really interesting to see the chess match this time around. And, you know, I think Loyola kind of got healthy at the right time of year, and they're really hitting their stride. And I think offensively, they're really starting to get things going. But as you mentioned, never easy down at Edwardsville.
What surprised you the most this postseason? Not just in 8A, but let's just say the top four.
You know, as far as surprises, I mean, honestly, I thought 8A for the most part kind of went chalk for the most part. It's kind of played out that way. Seven, I knew Batavia was good. I mean, I think you got to look at Bennett is a really nice story. I think everyone, what people don't realize is Bennett went through a whole bunch of injuries offensively, you know, and they kind of had to rediscover their offense a bit and got it done. And, you know, and really the story has been, and I know you'll love this, Sam, it's kind of been the Catholic League story again this year. I mean, you know, if you saw Providence late in the year and you know, we mentioned Mount Carmel, you know, all they did was get better as the postseason went on. So, again, that's a big storyline as well.
What do you think about, since you just brought up the Catholic League, I wasn't going to try and make this the Catholic League hour, but let's do that. You got sure. Mount Carmel getting kicked out of the blue next year. They're going to be in the green. Montini will join the blue. That means I don't get Carmel Rice. I don't get Carmel Rita. I don't get Carmel Providence. I have an issue with that.
Well, I totally get it, and I totally understand, but I think what needs to be understood is, you know, it's kind of a sign of the times. You have conferences that are splitting up. You've got teams being moved all over the place. You've got programs in the public league that are dropping football and going to eight-man football. And unfortunately, Sam, it's kind of the sign. We're seeing less and less teams and less numbers. And, you know, even the crowds this year in the playoffs, I wrote about it last week on NBC Sports Chicago, and tonight was not spectacular crowd-wise. I mean, first of all, I thought East St. Louis traveled really well, which they usually do, but outside of that, really since the first round, we haven't seen great crowds.
What do you think about the playoffs in general? I mean, there's been a lot of conversation the last handful of years. I know you've got your ear on this and you hear everything that goes on, but there have been talks about doing like a public bracket and a private bracket. There have been thoughts about possibly doing what Indiana does, which is get every team in. Even if you go 0-9, you make the playoffs. I would hate that. But as far as the playoffs go in general, would you give it an A, B, C, D, or F, the system we have here in Illinois?
Well, I would give it probably about a B minus. I love the fact that 7A and 8A are seeded 1 through 32. I think you're seeing the benefit of that in the last couple of playoffs, where I truly think the best teams are getting the best shot of getting to a state title game. I would love to see 1 through 32 go for some of the smaller classes, maybe 5A and 6A is the next step. And I would say, really, the only other issue that I hear a lot of griping about, and it's kind of hard to argue, is the whole home field deal. Where, you know what, hey, if you earn a higher seed, and especially in this day and age of field turf, you know, most of these schools have field turf now, you should be able to get that home game all the way through. I definitely would look to change that.
Yeah, East St. Louis should have been home, right, Kev? I mean, that should have been a home game for East St. Louis. Shouldn't have been at Gately.
It makes sense. I'm with you there. Hey, let's jump to 6A real quick. I know Hoffman Estates, who's put together a great year. They beat Belvedere North. They're going to face Prairie Ridge and Sampson Evans. Can anybody stop Prairie Ridge? I mean, I know Hoffman Estates is thinking to themselves, of course we can, but Prairie Ridge is, I mean, that's a damn good team.
Yeah, they are. You know, and Hoffman, as you mentioned, I mean, their only two losses were to Barrington and Palatine. So, you know, and it's a huge advantage, I think, playing 7A, 8A competition, dropping down to 6A. I think Providence is kind of in that same boat as well. Can anyone stop Prairie Ridge? I don't know. I mean, Sampson Evans is basically Superman. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable what this kid's done the last handful of years. Maybe in the state title game, things could get a little bit interesting, but I think you got to ride with the hot hand, and that's definitely Prairie Ridge.
Evans, your player of the year, I'm assuming?
Wow, I knew you were going there. Yeah, I would say, you know, what he's been able to pull off, you've got to respect it, and then really there's some others. You got to look at Craig Elmore at Phillips. He's been an impact player on both sides of the ball, and again, we can do this for a while, throwing a lot of names out there. But I think we'll shake out. Really, after next week, I think we'll have a much better handle.
That's Edgy Tim O'Halloran with us on 720 WGN, the publisher of edgytim.com. You've been covering Illinois high school football since the mid-90s. Can you just take me through real quick when you started the website? Because I remember being in high school, and I remember reading your site when
I
was in high school.
Yeah, I had teammates who were like, dude, you got to check out this Edgy Tim website.
Did you see what Edgy Tim wrote last night?
Because for high school,
oh my God.
For high school kids, it was so awesome. Like, you were in tune with everything going on. Of course, you're like, oh, we could beat this team. Edgy Tim said, it was like, it was something new. It was something we didn't really have. I mean, we had I read the Daily Herald religiously as a kid in the burbs, but like online, that was a new thing for high school football.
Yeah, I've been doing this since 1994, and the first year I started was, oh God, I'm so old. It was a AOL homepage, and it was a dial-up.
Oh wow! Wow!
And the first year, I had 357 page views, and I think I was about 220 of those. and it just kind of snowballed. And like you guys said, I always had the love for high school football. I kind of felt that while the newspapers were doing a good job of game day coverage, no one really got really in depth. And, you know, it just, I guess, right time, right place, right opportunity. And I just, you know, I love it and I still love it to this day. And, you know, yeah, it was freezing out there tonight, but you know what? I had a smile on my face the whole time today.
You used to have fan bases going at each other's necks on your message board.
No, we still do. Oh, there's no doubt. I had a thread this week between Sterling fans and Marion Central Catholic fans that was over 10,000 page views. So
wow. I know this is a lot, but since we're on the topic of, you know, the history of Edgy Tim and all that, can you give us like the best player you ever covered and maybe the best team you've ever covered? Sam and I can banter for like 60 seconds if you want to digest that question, because I know you've covered a lot.
I know who he's going to say.
All right,
I know
who you got.
Can I guess who you're going to say?
Player and a team, I'm curious.
I'm going to guess you're going to say Antoine Randall L.
Oh, man, you do. Sam, you know me pretty well.
Yeah!
It's there's been some great ones, guys, I'm not going to lie. And but you talk about a kid at the high school level that was truly a game changer back then. It definitely was Antoine Randall.
And you got a team that stands out? No? not okay. Maybe next time. Maybe we'll give you a week to maybe figure it out.
Yeah, I'm still drawing from the night. So
right, I got you.
Warmer, you know.
I got you.
I thought you'd get some more snow, though, Edgy. I mean, you like the snow. You're the good old Irish boy. You love the snow.
Let's not go that far, okay? You know, I'll handle the cold, but no, it's absolutely fine. It's playoff weather, and yeah, I saw the snow the other day. It wasn't good.
I want to just do this, Edgy. I want to read a text here. We just got a text here from the 847. And when you talk about Catholic programs, and it's not just Mount Carmel. We've had Brother Rice's head coach. We've had Rita's head coach. Text from the 847. Let's talk about the teams that don't recruit. Let's talk about teams that stick in their areas and play with kids from their areas.
And 847 points out Mount Carmel recruits.
How do you react to that text?
Well, I mean, first of all, every Catholic school recruits, they have to recruit an entire student body. So that's number one. It's one of those situations, Sammy. I mean, you followed this for a long time, and everyone talks about public-private. I mean, you know, if you're really bored in the offseason, just mention public-private, and automatically we'll start a debate. I don't know if it's ever going to get resolved. You hear talk about separating private and public, and I just say, I hope it never happens. Are there issues? Yeah. I mean, there still seems to be issues. People still have issues with private and Catholic schools winning state titles, and, you know, we've tried the multiplier. I don't know, at this rate, the way things are going this playoff season, it's going to be like raising taxes here compared to raising the multiplier. It's going to continue to just jump and jump and jump. You definitely give credit. There's a lot of great public school programs. Look at Maine South and what they've been able to do. I just think it's something that's going to be the never-ending argument in Illinois high school football.
Mount Carmel's got 800 kids. Barrington has 3,000. Right. I mean, come on.
Well, and you know, you look at the Catholic high schools in particular, enrollments continue to decline. So it's not like there's they're waiting in line to get into school. And really, enrollments are dropping really statewide, both private and public. So it's definitely an issue. But, again, guys, we can have this argument for 10 hours, and you're still never going to resolve anything.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. I like that debate. It keeps some interest. I'm serious. Like that
keeps you employed, Edgy.
Yeah, he's like.
Where it's going for 8 months. So, yeah, I like it, too.
Embrace debate.
That is Edgy Tim O'Halloran. Check out his website, edgytim.com. You can also see him on NBC Sports Chicago on Twitter. A great follow, at Edgy Tim. We'll talk to you in 3 years. Thanks, bud.
I got a bail. I'm on TV in like 9 minutes.
Well, hurry up. Don't be late.
We'll be watching.
All right.
See you guys. Thanks.
That's Edgy Tim.
I'm glad
Edgy
they didn't counter-program and go on at the same time as us. That's nice of CSN Chicago.
I'm getting the rap signal from eight people.
I guess we have to get to
Kevin Paul's scores. He's going to give you scores from all the classes.
Okay. Tabulating game scores.
Now, the Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
I'll give you the matchups in 8A for next weekend. Lincoln Way East, Maine South. You've heard us talk about it all hour long. We're all looking forward to that. When they played earlier in the year, they faced off in the postseason last year, so that should be a great one. On the lower part of the 8A bracket, Edwardsville will face Loyola. It's going to be a fun weekend next week. In 7A, Bennett will face Batavia, and the other semi, it's Sam's Mount Carmel against Lake Zurich. Moving on to 6A, Prairie Ridge with a big 42-7 victory over Willowbrook. They'll face Hoffman Estates in the semis. Providence will take on Nazareth in the lower part of the bracket. 5A, Phillips tops Lamont 15-3. They'll play Sterling next weekend in the semis of the 5A bracket. On the other part of the bracket, Washington beat Richwoods. They'll take on Dunlap. In 4A, Morris beat Rochelle 14-9. They'll take on Raby, who beat Dixon. So it'll be Morris against Raby in one of these semifinals. Highland beat Hersher 77-47, Sam.
Wow.
77-47, and they will play Rochester. That's a team you hear about a lot this time of the year. Rochester always seems to be in it in the 4A, so that should be a good one. Down to 3A, IC Catholic with a 46-21 win over Wilmington. They'll face Byron in the semifinals. Pleasant Plains beat Carlinville 20-14 in overtime. They'll advance to play Jonesboro.
There you go.
Jonesboro. I apologize to people that go to Jonesboro. Some new names, some new territory here. Newman Central Catholic beat Orion 40-14, not Orion Samuelson. Orion High School. So Newman Central Catholic advances to play El Paso.
December wheat.
There you go. And what do we got here? In the bottom part of the 2A bracket, Shelbyville beat Westville.
They'll Corn futures are up.
Maroa Forsyth.
I'm sorry, right? I'm at Jameson's.
Down to 1A. Let me give you this high school and see if you can, would you be able to point this high school out on a map,
Sam? No.
Lena Winslow.
I know Lena Winslow.
Okay.
Yeah, way down there.
They beat Freeport 67-28.
The pretzels are out? Freeport pretzels?
They had a good run.
Yeah.
They were eaten up by Lena Winslow.
Ran out of mustard.
Forreston over Princeville, 42-0. So it'll be Lena Winslow against Forreston in the top part of the 1A bracket. Tuscola will take on Athens in the lower part of the bracket. That's a look at... Deep breath after that. Big breath after that. Give me the oxygen mask. That's 1A through 8A. Go to WGNradio.com if we missed any scores, or you go to IHSA.org as well.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. We don't have much time, but we have a special announcement after the break, 720 WGN. 10:58, we do not have much time. The sand is almost out of the hourglass. I feel like that's like a soap opera tagline, but that's neither here or there. It's Preps Plus with Sam and Kevin. You have something you want to say.
All right, there's a lot of great parents out there in the world, Sam.
Yes.
But in my current parent power rankings, Carol and Lance Powell are number one. And major announcement, breaking news. It's officially tomorrow, but I'm not on the air tomorrow. Carol Powell, Lance Powell, dominant force in the parent game. 40-year anniversary. That's big-time stuff right there.
The parent game?
That's right. The best parents, love them. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. 40 years, Sam.
Wow, that's a long, long time. And you're how old?
28.
They waited.
Nah, they got two older ones, but okay. A little bit.
Okay. So, well, you just got to spread it out.
Happy anniversary, Mom and Dad.
I echo that sentiment as well. From Preps Plus, from all of us here at Preps Plus, our big three-person crew, we wish the Powells a very happy
We'll get you something very nice. When I say we, I'm sure Caitlin's on top of that right now. You got to have a sister to do stuff like that. It's the best, man.
WGN Radio Theater coming up next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.